The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA. Just want to thank you all for listening. Today is Monday, November the 23rd, 2015. And everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that Black Talk Radio Network brings to you. Because as you see in this time, in this moment, where we are right now, the programming that's here has always been organic, true, and sincere. And right now, that's exactly what we need, is we need more truth serums that are going to be the antidote for the propaganda and all of the lies that we've been told. And the lies that we have been told are extensive and complete since the day of our birth into this captivity that we call the U.S., the global countries, the nation states. Is nothing but a bunch of lies upon a bunch on top of more lies. So continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, your family members, about the programming that's here in the network so that it can continue to grow. Because believe me, without it, there are many things that you may not know nor be able to protect yourself or express yourself. And most importantly, come together in a way that you see that is so important so that you can devise a plan to maintain your overall sovereignty and freedom. So continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Make monetary donations and make support to develop the overall network in itself. And there's so many things that you can do. If you're not able to make monetary donations, send an email out to Scotty and ask what he needs help for, help with. And just some of the programs that are there, do the same to some of the hosts and the people that are there. Help them out in any way that you possibly can. You never know. This is what collective prudence is all about, and the fruits of it could be great. So do that, please, during this time that we're in, because we are all going to need each other. And this is one medium in which that we can spark that and make sure that that happens. Also, go to Tando Radio Show's Facebook page on Facebook. Check us out there. Check out some of the postings that we have there. And have any questions or comments that you would like to express, you could do it there, right there on Tando, and that's spelled Tando Radio Show. You can find us there Monday through Friday, and all of our schedule and the shows that we're going to have is going to be there. So just check us out there. So now let's get into some of the news. Been a very, very, very busy weekend. Over the weekend. So let's check out some of the important stories. Let me pull them up here, and then we're going to get into the show. So we didn't have a show on Friday, so still was able to post some things that were very relevant and important that you should know about. And so let's check what's in the news. So, of course, my computer is working a little slow. Give it a little second. Once it decides to catch up, then we'll get going on this. But just want to say I truly appreciate all of you for listening and being a part of Tando Radio Show, and also tell your friends and family about the show so this show can also grow. I had a lot of people that responded to our last show on Thursday where JW came in. It was a great show. She dropped a lot of information that was very, very important. And so JW expresses wanted to thank you all, and can't wait to have her on in the very, very near future, as time, you know, because as you already know, her voice is so needed, and there was a lot of response to it. So we're going to get to some of that. But okay, let's go over. Here's what's been in the news. And let me see that we, one second. Okay. Very, very important story. That was on Friday, posted this on Friday. So, so important. U.S. lawmakers advised to consider hacking China back. This comes from the BBC News. And the article goes on to say, real quickly, just going to touch on it real quickly, read the headline, the caption, and that's it, because we got a live show that we got to get to. U.S. lawmakers advised to consider hacking China back. And this came out on the 18th, and this is from the BBC. And it says, the United States should think about allowing U.S. companies to hack back if data is stolen by Chinese hackers. Data lost in such attacks could be recovered or wiped out, suggesting a new report from the U.S.-China Economic and Security Preview Commission. It says, lost sales and fixed hacking damages have cost U.S. firms tens of billions of dollars, with trade secrets being given to the Chinese company. The commission is typically very critical of the Chinese government. The report, which is due to release on Wednesday, described the American response to hacking on domestic firms is inadequate and says the U.S. is ill-prepared to defend itself from cyber espionage. Okay, now, let me just give you what this is really, really all about here. When it says the U.S. lawmakers advise to consider hacking China back, what are they saying here? They're saying that they're going to start the cyber war going on. And this is critical in today's world, because from the cyber war, then the ubiquitous fraud that's been in the financial entities and that has been through all through government and all through the pharmaceutical and the just the major corporations in this world, everything that they've done can be wiped away, and they can easily say they have plausible deniability to say that it was a hacker that did it when it was themselves. And this is something that you're going to see economically for sure. They're going to say that your pensions, that your savings, that your Social Security, that your individual checking and savings accounts and everything that you have within the system that you don't have physical holding over has been subject to a cyber war, and it was hit from Chinese or some other, they'll say anonymous, or they'll say some other entity or some other group within the globe that has been publicized and funded by them themselves. They would say that that was the organization that hit you, and now this is what's been taken from you. And from that, they will get the response that they want from you. They always want you to respond in anger. And then from that anger, they're going to use that anger against you. That's the one thing about anger that a lot of people fail to realize, is that it destroys not only the intended target, but it destroys the sender of it itself. So this is what's going on here. This is how they're going to actually hide that. You know, don't be surprised if you hear that there was a cyber attack within the market and within the banking institutions, and that has caused you to lose everything that you have in the bank. So that tells you what you should be doing, and we're going to talk about that later on here in the show. Very, very important article that's there, because there's one thing that I firmly believe in throughout my study in what's going on, and from these people, they tell you before they do it. It's one of the things that they never fail to do. It's just, and they speak about what their plans are if you know their language. And their language is one in which they always want to have more control over you via through fear and by fraudulent means. So check out this article. Share it with your friends and family. Very, very important article, because it's something that is going to come back in the very near future and be front and center, and it's going to actually affect you adversely. So check that one out. Next one we have, end of the U.S. Dollar hegemony is a great, great article that you should be checking out. And that one came from, oh man, that one came from what they, excuse me one second. That one came from whatthesayaboutus.com. Very, very good article that's there. It talks about the Chinese renminbi or the yuan becoming a much intrinsical force within the monetary system. You need to check that out, because this is something that we really should be paying attention to on all levels right now, because it's going to once again adversely affect you. So check out that article. It says a lot. We're going to touch on some of that today. Next one. This was a one that was not funny, but is quite disturbing and says a lot about where we are right now. And this one comes from telegraph.co.uk.com. And this one says, quarter of the men believe they have a man period. And it goes on to say, a quarter of British men believe that they are experiencing a monthly man's period, according to new research, as part of a study of over 2,400 people. 50% of the men and 50% of the women, male participants, were asked if they frequently suffer from, from the same common effects of PMS that women experience during their menstrual cycle, including tiredness, crampiness, and increased sensitivity. Let me tell you this. This is a design plan that the agenda has always had. And they put it by way of the food, the water, the air, the electronics, the different things. Through Wi-Fi and all these things start to destroy. And also they put it within the ecosystem, from the Roundup to all of those other things. We talked about the professor out of Cal Berkeley that had actually said that some of the ingredients in Roundup actually caused frogs to go from male frogs to go to female frogs and would have the same effect on people itself. Let me tell you, this is a design plan, and they're telling you this here, because a land without men is occupied. And that means simply this. If you have no men, then there is an occupying force that will take over the land that you have, because no men will be there to defend, to ensure your sovereignty. And a land without women is barren, meaning you won't have an existence at all. And let me tell you, there is an agenda to occupy and then to depopulate the planet. And they do it by these two means. They first neuter the men, then they sacrifice and destroy the women. Now we have a barren land. Very, very important article that you need to check out, because this is something that is being self-evident right now as we speak. So check out that article. Very good one. Next one. Next article is, let me clear some of this stuff up so it'll move a little faster. You can only imagine, my browser's got so much stuff on it, the computer's moving slow. Okay, next one. Another important one. Avocados, right? Is this the avocado one? Hold on one second. Nope. Too far. Okay, next one. We have, this one comes from Reuters. Puerto Rico creditors to meet on Friday. Let me just say this. Puerto Rico's defaulting on its debt. And let me tell you, there are people that think that Puerto Rico will be fine. Any person or any entity that goes into default in today's world is not going to be fine. They're not going to set any terms or conditions of their default. They're just going to be in default, and they're going to lose their assets that have already been securitized within those debt instruments. So Puerto Rico is basically going to be subject to their creditors, and they're going to treat them just like Greece. And remember, this is the U.S., a part of the U.S. as far as it's a territory, but it's directly tied into the U.S. economy. So now you're going to see that there have been a lot of private and meetings that have been going on, and we're going to touch on some of those. This one was in the creditors met in Puerto Rico for Friday, and they're talking about how they're going to have the default of Puerto Rico. And it's an extension of the default of the United States, because their pension funds is directly tied into the very same pension funds that the U.S. are tied in. And remember, Congress has already legislated the default on the pension. And we talked about that earlier this year during the summer. So check out that article in Reuters. You need to know and make the final preparations. Next, there's an emergency meeting that the Federal Reserve had today. We posted this on Friday, that they were going to have an emergency meeting on Monday morning, and that was today. And so the Federal Reserve had an emergency meeting that was scheduled for today, and it happened. Just waiting to hear how that went. There is some information that's there, but I wasn't able to go through it and then come on air. So this is basically what's happening. The default is starting to make itself apparent, and now they're going to slowly trap you and close the door and close the window for you to prepare. They are going to raise interest rates, and when they do that, there's going to have a very, very adverse effect on the economy. It's going to have an adverse effect on your standard of living as they raise interest rates. It's just like someone that has debt. If you're paying your debt at one level and it's at 1% interest rate and then it's raised to 2.5% interest rate, most likely you're going to go into bankruptcy and default on that debt, because you won't be able to meet those payments because the overall interest on it has gone up. Very, very telling as to where we are economically. The wheels of the vehicle of the U.S. economy has now been flat, and now they're falling off. So it's a very, very important one. We will definitely talk about this as it goes along. Next, we have a great article about avocados. Avocados shown to block cancer cells and protect. Good article. One of the things that you need to know, we need to be eating the fruit and the medicine that the great creator God Almighty has made for us, so that it can sustain and fuel and repair and energize the natural body that we have, not the synthetic realm that man wants to control you with. And from those synthetics, they create zombies, real live zombies. And if you look at our overall population throughout the world, we are zombies that have been intoxicated by the synthetic drugs of the food and so many other things. So check out that article about avocado. Very good article. Next one, real important one. This one comes from the AsiaNikkei.com. Japan may send military to South Sea of China. Japan may send military to South Sea of China, Abe said in the Nikkei Asian Review. Very, very important. China and Japan have been historical enemies for so long, and the real adversary in the South Sea of China is Japan. And Japan is now they passed where they can now militarize their military from a standpoint of taking offensive means and methods against other countries, which is very telling. Before they were just supposedly defensive, but that was not true. That's just what they said. But they've already had the offensive weapons. If you're going to go into war, you don't wait until you need to go into war to start preparing for it. You see it coming beforehand, and you start to position yourself for that. So this is very telling. I expect the South Sea of China to explode at any time. And just goes along with the overall war paradigm that's unfolding. Next we have, coming from AsianEurope.com, that says that Asian Europe containers frigates rates dropped 28%. This comes from Copenhagen. Shipping freight rates for transporting containers from ports in Asia to North Europe plunges by 27.9%. Basically, what is happening, the Baltic dry dock and the goods that are being transported are all over the world are stopping and slowing. But this is what you see before you go into major wars, where the goods stop flowing and they stop trading between countries. So this is something as an indication. Check this one out, and so that you are up to date as to what's going on. Another great article. We're going to wrap this up pretty soon. Another great article. This one comes from the Shanghai, ShanghaiList.com. No, Shanghai, Shanghaiist.com. And this one is brand spanking new 100 yuan note are here. China's central bank has officially put the country's new 100 yuan banknote into circulation. One of the things that you notice first and foremost about this is that the 100 is in gold hologram writing. Once again, this is China telling you what they're going to do. They're going to back their currency at the appropriate time and to gain a bunch of confidence from the people of the world deciding to do trading with them exclusively, because what we're having is competition, and then competition is always good for so-called who, the customers. But what China is going to do is they're going to bring a competitive spirit to overall trade and trading in currencies and hubs of trading, and the rest of the world will leave what it's been doing for the past 70 years, going to the U.S. first, and that is going to directly destroy your quality of life here in this country. So good article, check that one out, that's posted there inside of Tando. Another secret meeting that took place this weekend. Europe leaders in secret talks over the future. One second. And this one comes from the EU Times. Having a little problem here. One sec, let me pull this up. Wow. Ridiculous. Come on, man. All right, so keep going. This comes from the times.co.uk. And this is another one of the secret meetings that have been going on this weekend and have everything to do about what's going on in the world. So the EU leaders are in secret talk over the future. European Union governments are holding secret talks over ditching the borderless travel within the continent as fears grow that the migrant crisis is pushing Germany towards a political crisis. But let me say this. This is the facade. They're just telling you that's the reason why they're meeting. But what I believe the reason why they're meeting has nothing to do is with the migrant situation. What I really think that they're doing is repositioning themselves from the dollar and how they're going to do it. And they were just saying that it had everything to do with the migrant thing, because that is something that the general public can see and understand while they're really deciding on how they're going to unpeg themselves from the dollar hegemony. And this is going to bring about this global war that you're going to see spark off and has already started, but is going to go full blown and ignite into a huge explosion very soon. So check that one out. This one, the next one is from offthegridnews.com. Sales spike. Get your guns before they're gone. Sales spike. Get your guns before they're gone are written by Daniel Jennings. And this, what this article was talking about from Off the Grid, very, very good. There's a window of opportunity that you have to prepare for the things that are going on. And here's the article. I just want to read some of it real, real quick. And then we're going to get into today's show. Okay, so get your guns before they're gone. The terrorist atrocities in Paris has had a interesting side effect here in America. No, if you know anything about what's been going on, this is a effect that you would expect to happen, a reaction that you would expect to happen. Gun sales are on the rise. Media reports across the country indicate that that gun dealers and authorities who issue weapons permits have seen a significant increase in the interest in firearm purchases. The line will go clear out the door, wrap around the courtyard, and I would estimate that the amount of phone calls have quadrupled. Chief Deputy Kevin Crusade of the Allegheny County, Pennsylvania Sheriff's Office said of concealed carry permit applicants. Crusade's office normally processes around 50 applicants per permit a day, but handled 104 requests on Monday, November the 16th, the first day of business after the attack. Now, let me tell you, this is going to continue to happen because it is so important that if you do not have any way to protect yourself and you are looking at getting firearms, you need to start getting those that resource now, because the government doesn't have to ban firearms. What will happen is this: the sales and the availability of them will do that for them. And there will be no weapons or firearms that people will be able to find for purchase. And another thing which the government will do is that they will restrict the flow of ammunition. And watch, you're going to see the flow of ammunition very, very soon. And one of the chief things that you're going to see to stop a flow of ammunition is you're going to see 9mm, 45, 556/223, 7.62/308. Those ammunitions are going to dry up very, very quickly. And I'm going to tell you how they're going to do it. They're going to say that they have to prepare for war and that the military is going to need it. And when that happens, there is not going to be, and that's one, some of the primary ammunition that is held throughout this country. And so if you really want to be smart and buy something that you could trade, if you're not someone that believes in guns, get the ammunition, because there always will be someone to trade you for that in the very near future. So very, very important. And we will definitely do a show about that in the very near future, because it's so, so important. A couple more things before we get out of get into the show. I'm going to skip a couple of them because my computer is running a little slow, and I want to do this before the half hour is here, before we go to the first break. Okay, another important one. Let me get this one out. Okay, this is huge. Very, very huge. Blackout in Crimea. Come on, computer. Stop playing. All right. There's a currently, because my, all right. So currently there is a blackout, a state of emergency and a blackout within Crimea. State of emergency, blackout in Russia's Crimea after transmitter towers in Ukraine blew up. Let me tell you, Russia is going to look at this as an act of war by the Ukraine. And who has been funding the Ukraine? Who has brought the instability in the Ukraine? None other than the same people that have been funding and organized and put together the faddish and popular and propaganda driven terrorist group that is all through mainstream media right now, the United States and its proxy state. So the article goes on. This is what happened. Basically, the energy to Crimea was cut off by the Ukraine, and Russia, remember, has the people in Crimea decided to go to Russia after Russia annexed them. And so they had a vote and they all wanted to be part of the Russian state. And then now that was very important because it was a part of the Ukraine, and the Ukraine gets a lot of resources from Crimea, and it's a very important intrinsical value because of where it sits in the Black Sea and the overall for their ports and everything else. So the Ukraine has now started to cut off power there, stop the flow of food to the overall Providence area or to Crimea, who are all basically Russians anyhow. They identify with Russians, with Russia anyhow. So of course that they were going to decide to go with Russia. That's where their ancestral ties are from. So very, very important, because now Russia's response is this: they're going to cut off the gas to the Ukraine. And this is the winner in Europe. And when they cut the gas off to the Ukraine, but it's not just the Ukraine. For them to cut the gas off to the Ukraine, they have to cut the gas also off too, because it's the same pipeline to go to Europe. This is another step towards the global unfolding of war. Huge, huge information that's there and events that are happening as we speak. Hey everyone, we're going to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to get into today's show. So if you have any questions or comments, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, then hit *61. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and just want to thank you all for listening today. So we're going to get into today's show, but there's a couple of more very, very important things because winter is here and is extremely cold. I posted inside of Tando Radio Show something that would be beneficial to the everyday person, and please check this one out. Have this a part of your overall preparedness because winter, I believe, is going to be quite harsh. And if it is, you're going to need other ways to heat your homes or to maintain some form of heat that can be done very, very cheaply. And you need to know. Posted this last winter, and I will post this every winter. This is something called the clay pot candle heating system. I posted inside of Tando. Check that one out. It's a clay pot with candles, with the little tea light candles. And believe me, that puts off a lot of heat, and you could basically do it for pennies on the dollar, but you have to be extremely, extremely careful with this because it does have a risk of fire, a very high risk of fire. If you knock this over or spill it, you definitely could have a very hot fire that will establish right away. So you want to be careful of that, but if you make sure that you protect it in a way where it will not be subject to spillage or subject to being knocked over, then you can have sustainable heat and you can heat up a room very quickly for a very long time with just four tea light candles, the very small ones. But check out the video that's there, really good. There's also a video there on what not to do, and that's the hanging one. Do not do that hanging one that's there because that one will definitely cause a fire. So there's two that's there, but this is something that you can use in very small places. This should be a part of your everyday survival kit for this winter because it is very, very efficient. And also, but that was it. But we'll catch up on the other ones. There's some other good ones that's there, but we need to get into the show. In today's show, we're going to be talking about banking and the debt contract that is put into place. And that totally destroys our overall ability to have any real meaningful sustainability or have any financial freedom. They don't teach you these things, but what they do is they keep you subject to them. Because the one thing that they're afraid of is for the people to decide or to be made aware of how the system of control and fraud is being run and operated, because then the people would not participate in it. So what they have to do is they really, really have to push their propaganda. They really, really have to push their agenda, and they do it through movies. That's why they have those elaborate sets and all of that other thing, and that gives the people a false sense of confidence and a false sense of security in the overall paradigm, because they see them on TV with their well-funded commercials and everything else, and they think that these institutions have their best interest at hand when they don't. But if you know how the system works, you can even operate within the system and still get the things that you need without being a victim to it, the fraudulent side of it. So that's what we really need to discuss and really need to talk about today. That's what today's show is going to be all about. We're about to go to a video. And before we go to that video, if you have any questions or comments, definitely give us a call. This is a very, very important show. Don't feel that you have a question that is, silly or you're shy or afraid to ask it, it's so important that you engage in the conversations now, because there aren't a lot of people that are talking about this, and the last people that you want to talk to are some of the very people that have instituted this system, because all they're going to do is try to strong arm you and give you a bunch of lies to keep you in place. And this is one of the things that we do here. We want you to be free and independent the way that the great creator God Almighty intended you to live. You have that ability if you make sure that you live by those terms. So important. It's important that we find out what's going on. And this is a great, great way in which we can do that. So we're getting ready to go to this video. And when we come back out of the video, we'll definitely have some more conversation and some dialogue about this. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you, because a dialogue is much more important than a monologue. Give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound and hit *61. We'll definitely see you there, and we will get you on air so we can hear from you and see what your question is. So let's go to the video, and then when we come back, we will definitely have a conversation about this, because this is so, so important.
Two great mysteries dominate our lives, love and money. What is love is a question that has been endlessly explored in stories, songs, books, movies, and television. But the same cannot be said about the question, what is money? It's not surprising that monetary theory hasn't inspired any blockbuster movies, but it was not even mentioned at the schools most of us attended. For most of us, the question, where does money come from, brings to mind a picture of the mint printing bills and stamping coins. Money, most of us believe, is created by the government. It's true, but only to a point. Those metal and paper symbols of value we usually think of as money are indeed produced by an agency of the federal government called the mint. But the vast majority of money is not created by the mint. It is created in huge amounts every day by private corporations known as banks. Most of us believe that banks lend out money that has been entrusted to them by depositors. Easy to picture, but not the truth. In fact, banks create the money they loan, not from the bank's own earnings, not from the money deposited, but directly from the borrower's promise to repay. The borrower's signature on the loan papers is an obligation to pay the bank the amount of the loan plus interest, or lose the house, the car, whatever asset was pledged as collateral. That's a big commitment from the borrower. What does the same signature require of the bank? The bank gets to conjure into existence the amount of the loan and just write it into the borrower's account. Sound far-fetched? Surely that can't be true. But it is. To demonstrate how this miracle of modern banking came about, consider this simple story, The Goldsmith's Tale. Once upon various times, pretty much anything was used as money. It just had to be portable, and enough people had to have faith that it could later be exchanged for things of real value, like food, clothing, and shelter. Shells, cocoa beans, pretty stones, even feathers have been used as money. Gold and silver were attractive, soft, and easy to work with, so some cultures became expert with these metals. Goldsmiths made trade much easier by casting coins, standardized units of these metals whose weight and purity was certified. But to protect his gold, the goldsmith needed a vault, and soon his fellow townsmen were knocking on his door, wanting to rent space to safeguard their own coins and valuables. Before long, the goldsmith was renting every shelf in the vault and earning a small income from his vault rental business. Years went by, and the goldsmith made an astute observation. Depositors rarely came in to remove their actual physical gold, and they never all came in at once. That was because the claim checks the goldsmith had written as receipts for the gold were being traded in the marketplace as if they were the gold itself. This paper money was far more convenient than heavy coins, and amounts could simply be written instead of laboriously counted one by one for each transaction. Meanwhile, the goldsmith had another business. He lent out his gold, charging interest. Well, as convenient claim check money came into acceptance, borrowers began asking for their loans in the form of these claim checks instead of the actual metal. As industry expanded, more and more people asked the goldsmith for loans. This gave the goldsmith an even better idea. He knew that very few of his depositors ever removed their actual gold, so the goldsmith figured he could easily get away with lending out claim checks against his depositors' gold in addition to his own. As long as the loans were repaid, his depositors would be none the wiser and no worse off. And the goldsmith, now more banker than artisan, would make a far greater profit than he could by lending only his own gold. For years, the goldsmith secretly enjoyed a good income from the interest earned on everybody else's deposits. Now a prominent lender, he grew steadily richer than his fellow townsmen, and he flaunted it. Suspicions grew that he was spending his depositors' money. His depositors got together and threatened withdrawal of their gold if the goldsmith didn't come clean about his newfound wealth. Contrary to what one might expect, this did not turn out to be a disaster for the goldsmith. Despite the duplicity inherent in his scheme, his idea did work. The depositors had not lost anything. Their gold was all safe in the goldsmith's vault. Well, rather than taking back their gold, the depositors demanded that the goldsmith, now their banker, cut them in by paying them a share of the interest. And that was the beginning of banking. The banker paid a low interest rate on deposits of other people's money that he then loaned out at a higher interest. The difference covered the bank's cost of operation and its profit. The logic of this system was simple, and it seemed like a reasonable way to satisfy the demand for credit. However, this is not the way banking works today. Our goldsmith banker was not content with the income remaining after sharing the interest earnings with his depositors, and the demand for credit was growing fast as Europeans spread out across the world. But his loans were limited by the amount of gold his depositors had in his vault. That's when he got an even bolder idea. Since no one but himself knew what was actually in his vaults, he could lend out claim checks on gold that wasn't even there. As long as all the claim check holders didn't come to the vault at the same time and demand real gold, how would anyone find out? This new scheme worked very well, and the banker became enormously wealthy on the interest paid on gold that did not exist. The idea that the banker would just create money out of nothing was too outrageous to believe, so for a long time the thought did not occur to people. But the power to just invent money went to the banker's head, as you can well imagine. In time, the magnitude of the banker's loans and his ostentatious wealth did trigger suspicions once again. Some borrowers started to demand real gold instead of paper representations. Rumors spread. Suddenly, several wealthy depositors showed up to remove their gold. The game was up. A sea of claim check holders flooded the street outside the closed doors of the bank. Alas, the banker did not have enough gold and silver to redeem all the paper he had put into their hands. This is called a run on the bank, and it is what every banker dreads. This phenomenon of a run on the bank ruined individual banks, and not surprisingly, damaged public confidence in all bankers. It would have been straightforward to outlaw the practice of creating money from nothing. But the large volumes of credit the bankers were offering had become essential to the success of European commercial expansion. So instead, the practice was legalized and regulated. Bankers agreed to abide by limits on the amount of fictional loan money that could be lent out. The limit would still be a number much larger than the actual value of gold and silver in the vault. Quite often the ratio was 9 fictional dollars to 1 actual dollar in gold. These regulations were enforced by surprise inspections. It was also arranged that, in the event of a run, central banks would support local banks with emergency infusions of gold. Only if there were runs on a lot of banks simultaneously would the banker's credit bubble burst and the system come crashing down. Over the years, the fractional reserve system and its integrated network of banks backed by a central bank has become the dominant money system of the world. At the same time, the fraction of gold backing the debt money has steadily shrunk to nothing. The basic nature of money has changed. In the past, a paper dollar was actually a receipt that could be redeemed for a fixed weight of gold or silver. In the present, a paper or digital dollar can only be redeemed for another paper or digital dollar. In the past, privately created bank credit existed only in the form of private banknotes, which people had the choice to refuse, just as we have the choice to refuse someone's private check today. In the present, privately created bank credit is legally convertible to government-issued fiat currency, the dollars, loonies, and pounds we habitually think of as money. Fiat currency is money created by government fiat or decree, and legal tender laws declare that citizens must accept this fiat money as payment for debt, or else the courts will not enforce the obligation. So now the question is, if governments and banks can both just create money, then how much money exists? In the past, the total amount of money in existence was limited to the actual physical quantities of whatever commodity was in use as money. For example, in order for new gold or silver money to be created, more gold or silver had to be found and dug out of the ground. In the present, money is literally created as debt. New money is created whenever anyone takes a loan from the bank. As a result, the total amount of money that can be created has only one real limit, the total level of debt. Governments place an additional statutory limit on the creation of new money by enforcing rules known as fractional reserve requirements. Essentially arbitrary, fractional reserve requirements vary from country to country and from time to time. In the past, it was common to require banks to have at least $1 worth of real gold in the vault to back $10 worth of debt money created. Today, reserve requirement ratios no longer apply to the ratio of new money to gold on deposit, but merely to the ratio of new debt money to existing debt money on deposit in the bank. Today, a bank's reserves consist of two things: the amount of government-issued cash or equivalent that the bank has deposited with the central bank, plus the amount of already existing debt money the bank has on deposit. To illustrate this in a simple way, let's imagine that a new bank has just started up and has no depositors yet. However, the bank's investors have made a reserve deposit of $1,111.12 of existing cash money at the central bank. The required reserve ratio is 9 to 1. Step 1. The doors open and the new bank welcomes its first loan customer. he needs $10,000 to buy a car. At the 9-to-1 reserve ratio, the new bank's reserve at the central bank, also known as high-powered money, allows it to legally conjure into existence 9 times that amount, or $10,000, on the basis of the borrower's pledge of debt. This $10,000 is not taken from anywhere. It's brand new money simply typed into the borrower's account as bank credit. The borrower then writes a check on that bank credit to buy the used car. Step 2. The seller then deposits this newly created $10,000 at her bank. Unlike the high-powered government money deposited at the central bank, this newly created credit money cannot be multiplied by the reserve ratio. Instead, it's divided by the reserve ratio. At a ratio of 9-to-1, a new loan of $9,000 can be created on the basis of the $10,000 deposit. Step 3. If that $9,000 is then deposited by a third party at the same bank that created it or at a different one, it becomes the legal basis for a third issue of bank credit, this time for the amount of $8,100. Like one of those Russian dolls where each layer contains a slightly smaller doll inside, each new deposit contains the potential for a slightly smaller loan in an infinitely decreasing series. Now, if the loan money created is not deposited at the bank, the process stops. That's the unpredictable part of the money creation mechanism. But more likely, at every step, the new money will be deposited at a bank, and the reserve ratio process can repeat itself over and over until almost $100,000 of brand new money has been created within the banking system. All of this new money has been created entirely from debt, and the whole process has been legally authorized by the initial reserve deposit of just $1,111.12, which is still sitting untouched at the central bank. What's more, under this ingenious system, the books of each bank in the chain must show that the bank has 10% more on deposit than it has out on loan. This gives banks a very real incentive to seek deposits in order to be able to make loans, supporting the general but misleading impression that loans come out of deposits. Now, unless all the successive loans are deposited at the same bank, it cannot be said that any one bank got to multiply its initial high-powered money reserve almost 90 times by issuing bank credit out of nothing. However, the banking system is a closed loop. Bank credit created at one bank becomes a deposit in another, and vice versa. In a theoretical world of perfectly equal exchanges, the ultimate effect would be exactly the same as if the whole process took place within one bank. That is, the bank's initial central bank reserve of a little over $1,100 allows it to ultimately collect interest on up to $100,000 the bank never had. If that sounds ridiculous, try this. In recent decades, as a result of steady lobbying by the banks, the requirements to make a reserve deposit at the nation's central bank have all but disappeared in some countries, and actual reserve ratios can be much higher than 9-to-1. For some types of accounts, 20-to-1 and 30-to-1 ratios are common. And even more recently, by using loan fees to raise the required reserve from the borrower, banks have now found a way to circumvent reserve requirement limitations entirely. So, while the rules are complex, the common sense reality is actually quite simple. Banks can create as much money as we can borrow. Despite the endlessly presented mint footage, government-created money typically accounts for less than 5% of the money in circulation. More than 95% of all money in existence today was created by someone signing a pledge of indebtedness to a bank. What's more, this bank credit money is being created and destroyed in huge amounts every day as new loans are made and old ones repaid. Banks can only practice this money system with the active cooperation of government. First, governments pass legal tender laws to make us use the national fiat currency. Secondly, governments allow private bank credit to be paid out in this government currency. Thirdly, government courts enforce debts. And lastly, governments pass regulations to protect the money system's functionality and credibility with the public while doing nothing to inform the public about where money really comes from. The simple truth is that when we sign on the dotted line for a so-called loan or mortgage, our signed pledge of payment, backed by the assets we pledge to forfeit should we fail to pay, is the only thing of real value involved in the transaction. To anyone who believes we will honor our pledge, that loan agreement or mortgage is now a portable, exchangeable, and saleable piece of paper. It's an IOU. It represents value and is therefore a form of money. This money the borrower exchanges for the bank's so-called loan. Now, a loan in the real world means that the lender must have something to lend. If you need a hammer, my loaning you a promise to provide a hammer I don't have won't be of much help. But in the artificial world of money, a bank's promise to pay money it doesn't have is allowed to be passed off as money, and we accept it as such. Once the borrower signs the pledge of debt, the bank then balances the transaction by creating, with a few keystrokes on a computer, a matching debt of the bank to the borrower. From the borrower's point of view, this becomes loan money in his or her account. And because the government allows this debt of the bank to the borrower to be converted to government fiat currency, everyone has to accept it as money. Again, the basic truth is very simple. Without the document the borrower signed, the banker would have nothing to lend. Have you ever wondered how everyone, governments, corporations, small businesses, families, can all be in debt at the same time and for such astronomical amounts? Have you ever questioned how there can be that much money out there to lend? Now you know, there isn't. Banks do not lend money. They simply create it from debt. And as debt is potentially unlimited, so is the supply of money. And, as it turns out, the opposite situation is also true. Isn't it astounding that despite the incredible wealth of resources, innovation, and productivity that surrounds us, almost all of us, from governments to companies to individuals, are heavily in debt to bankers? If only people would stop and think, how can that be? How can it be that the people who actually produce all the real wealth in the world are in debt to those who merely lend out the money that represents the wealth? Even more amazing is that once we realize that money really is debt, we realize that if there was no debt, there'd be no money. If this is news to you, you are not alone. Most people imagine that if all debts were paid off, the state of the economy would improve. It's certainly true on an individual level. Just as we have more money to spend when our loan payments are finished, we think that if everyone were out of debt, there would be more money to spend in general. But the truth is the exact opposite. There would be no money at all. There it is. We are totally dependent on continually renewed bank credit for there to be any money in existence. No loans, no money, which is what happened during the Great Depression. The money supply shrank drastically as the supply of loans dried up. Thank you. And that's not all. Banks create only the amount of the principal. They don't create the money to pay the interest. Where is that supposed to come from? The only place borrowers can go to obtain the money to pay interest is the general economy's overall money supply. But almost all that overall money supply has been created exactly the same way. As bank credit, it has to be paid back with more than was created. So everywhere there are other borrowers in the same situation, frantically trying to obtain the money they need to pay back both principal and interest from a total money pool which contains only principal. It is clearly impossible for everyone to pay back the principal plus interest because the interest money doesn't exist. This can even be expressed by a simple mathematical formula. The big problem here is that for long-term loans, such as mortgages and government debt, the total interest far exceeds the principal. So unless a lot of extra money is created to pay the interest, it means a very high proportion of foreclosures and a non-functioning economy. To maintain a functional society, the rate of foreclosure needs to be low. And so, to accomplish this, more and more new debt money has to be created to satisfy today's demands for money to service the previous debt. But of course, this just makes the total debt bigger, and that means more interest must ultimately be paid, resulting in an ever-escalating and inescapable spiral of mounting indebtedness. It is only the time lag between money's creation as new loans and its repayment that keeps the overall shortage of money from catching up and bankrupting the entire system. However, as the bank's insatiable credit monster gets bigger and bigger, the need to create more and more debt money to feed it becomes increasingly urgent. Why are interest rates so low? Why do we get unsolicited credit cards in the mail? Why is the U.S. government spending faster than ever? Could it be the stave-off collapse of the entire monetary system? A rational person has to ask, can this really go on forever? Isn't a collapse inevitable? Money facilitates production and trade. As the money supply increases, money just becomes increasingly worthless unless the volume of production and trade in the real world grows by the same amount. Add to this the realization that when we hear that the economy is growing at 3% per year, it sounds like a constant rate, but it's not. This year's 3% represents more real goods and services than last year's 3% because it's 3% of the new total. Instead of a straight line, as is naturally visualized from the words, it is really an exponential curve getting steeper and steeper. The problem, of course, is that perpetual growth of the real economy requires perpetually escalating use of real-world resources and energy. More and more stuff has to go from natural resource to garbage every year, forever, just to keep this system from collapsing. What can we do about this downright scary situation? For one thing, we need a very different concept of money. It's time more people ask themselves and their governments four simple questions. Around the world, governments borrow money at interest from private banks. Government debt is a major component of total debt, and servicing that debt takes a big chunk of our taxes. Now, we know that banks simply create the money they lend, and that governments have given them permission to do this. So the first question is, why do governments choose to borrow money from private banks at interest when government could create all the interest-free money it needs itself? And the second big question is, why create money as debt at all? Why not create money that circulates permanently and doesn't have to be perpetually reborrowed in interest in order to exist? The third question, how can a money system that can only function with perpetually accelerating growth be used to build a sustainable economy? Isn't it logical that perpetually accelerating growth and sustainability are incompatible. And finally, what is it about our current system that makes it totally dependent on perpetual growth? What needs to be changed to allow the creation of a sustainable economy? At one time, charging any interest on a loan was called usury and was subject to severe penalties, including death. Every major religion forbade usury. Most of the arguments made against the practice were moral. It was held that money's only legitimate purpose was to facilitate the exchange of real goods and services. Any form of making money from simply having money was regarded as the act of a parasite or of a thief. However, as the credit needs of commerce increased, the moral arguments eventually gave way to the argument that lending involves risk and loss of opportunity to the lender, and therefore attempting to make a profit from lending is justified. Today, these notions seem quaint. Today, the idea of making money from money is held as an ideal to strive for. Why work when you can get your money to work for you? However, in trying to envision a sustainable future, it's very clear that the charging of interest is both a moral and a practical problem. Imagine a society and economy that can endure for centuries because, instead of plundering its capital stores of energy, it restricts itself to present-day income. No more wood is harvested than grows in the same period. All energy is renewable, solar, gravitational, geothermal, magnetic, and whatever else we discover. This society lives within the limits of its non-renewable resources by reusing and recycling everything, and the population just replaces itself. Such a society could never function using a money system utterly dependent on perpetually accelerating growth. A stable economy would need a money supply at least capable of remaining stable without collapsing. Let's say the total volume of this stable money supply is represented by this big circle. Let's also imagine that money lenders must actually have existing money to lend. If some people within this money supply begin systematically lending money at interest, their share of the money supply will grow. If they continually re-loan at interest all the money that gets paid back, what's the inevitable result? Whether it's gold, fiat, or debt money doesn't matter. The money lenders will end up with all the money. And after the foreclosures and bankruptcies are all filed, they'll get all the real property too. Only if the proceeds of lending at interest were evenly distributed among the population would this central problem be solved. Heavy taxation of bank profits might accomplish this goal, but then why would banks want to be in business? If we were ever able to free ourselves of the current situation, we could imagine banking run as a non-profit service to society, disbursing its interest earnings as a universal citizen dividend, or lending without charging interest at all. If it is the fundamental nature of the system that causes the problems, tinkering with the system cannot ever solve those problems. The system itself must be replaced. Many monetary critics call for a return to gold-based money, claiming that gold has a long history of reliability. They ignore the many scams that can be played with gold, shaving coins, debasing the metal, cornering the market, all of which were abundantly practiced in ancient Rome and contributed to its fall. Some advocate silver, it being more abundant than gold and therefore more difficult to corner. Many question the need to bring back precious metals at all. No one wants to go back to carrying heavy sacks of coins to go shopping. It's a certainty that paper, digital, plastic, or more likely biometric ID money would be the real medium of trade with the same potential for creating unlimited debt money we have now. Beyond that, if gold again became the sole legal basis of money, those who have no gold would suddenly have no money. Other monetary reform advocates have concluded that greed and dishonesty are the main problems, and that there may be better ways to create an honest and equitable money system than returning to silver or gold. Inventive minds have proposed a variety of alternate ways to create money. Many private barter systems create money as debt, much as banks do, but it is done openly and without charging interest. An example is a barter system in which debt is expressed as pledges of hours of work, all work being valued equally at a dollar figure that then allows hours to be equated with the dollar price of goods. This kind of money system can be set up by anyone who can devise a way to do the accounting and find willing and trustworthy participants. Setting up a local barter money system, even if it were little used now, would be prudent emergency planning for any community. Monetary reform, like electoral reform, is a big topic, and one that requires a willingness to change and to think outside the box. Monetary reform, again, like electoral reform, will not come easily, because the enormously powerful interests that benefit from the existing system will do their utmost to maintain their advantage. Now that we've seen that money is just an idea, and that in reality money can be whatever we make it, here's one very simple alternative monetary concept to consider. This model is based on systems that have worked in the past, in England and America, systems that were undermined and destroyed by the goldsmith bankers, their fractional reserve system. To create an economy based on permanent interest-free money, money could simply be created and spent into the economy by the government, preferably on long-lasting infrastructure that facilitates the economy, such as roads, railroads, bridges, harbors, and public markets. This money would not be created as debt, it would be created as value, that value being in the form of whatever it was spent on. If this new money facilitated a proportional increase in trade requiring its use, it would cause no inflation whatsoever. If government spending did cause inflation, there would be two courses of action available. Inflation is equivalent in effect to a flat tax on money. Whether the money goes down in value 20% or the government takes 20% of our money away from us, the effect on our buying power is the same. Viewed this way, inflation in place of taxation might be politically acceptable if well spent and kept within limits. Or government could choose to counter inflation by collecting tax monies that it then takes out of use, thus reducing the money supply and restoring its value. To control deflation, which is the phenomenon of falling wages and prices, the government would simply spend more money into existence. With no competing private debt money creation, governments would have more effective control of their nation's money supply. The public would know whom to blame if things went wrong. Governments would rise and fall on their ability to preserve the value of money. Government would operate primarily on taxes as it does now, but tax money would go much, much further, as none of it would be required to pay interest to private bankers. There could be no national debt if the federal government simply created the money it needed. Our perpetual collective servitude to the banks through interest payments on government debt would be impossible. What we have been taught to believe as democracy and freedom has become in reality an ingenious and invisible form of economic dictatorship. As long as our entire society remains utterly dependent on bank credit for its supply of money, bankers will be in the position to make the decisions on who gets the money they need and who doesn't. Few people are aware today that the history of the United States since the Revolution in 1776 has been, in large part, the story of an epic struggle to get free and stay free of control by the European international banks. This struggle was finally lost in 1913 when President Woodrow Wilson signed into effect the Federal Reserve Act, putting the international banking cartel in charge of creating America's money. The power of this system is deeply ingrained. So is the educational and media silence on the subject. Years ago, a Canadian deputy prime minister surveyed scores of non-economists, both highly educated professionals and common sense people on the street, and found that not one of them had an accurate understanding of how money is created. In fact, it's probably safe to say that most people, including the frontline employees of banks, have never given the matter a moment's thought. Have you? The modern money as debt system was born a little over 300 years ago, when the first Bank of England was set up with a royal charter for fractional lending of gold receipts at a modest ratio of 2 to 1. That modest ratio was just the proverbial foot in the door. The system is now worldwide, creates virtually unlimited amounts of money out of thin air, and has almost everyone on the planet chained to a perpetually growing debt that can never be paid off. Could it have all happened by accident? Or is it a conspiracy? Obviously, something very big is at stake here.
Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Hi, right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for checking out. That was a very informative video that we played there, and there was a lot of information that was given there, and we really, really need to talk about it because there was some good information and some very, very banking system information that was given there, because the solution that they gave you was not one that would really bring about what is really needed to unenslave or to release the subject hold that institutions and individuals have over other individuals' lives. They, you know, that was the main thing there, because what they want to do is that they want to create a problem, point out what they want you to see in a problem, then you see it, and then they say that they're going to fix it. And how they fix it is by this. They wait until it's been great of great pain to you so that you will beg them for the solution. And when the real solution is right there with you, the individual, and for you to take back your overall freedom and understanding who you are, then they can't have an institution which rules over you. You won't be subject to any other man. You won't be born with a social security number, which is nothing more than a branding as property, that you're someone else's property. You weren't born to be someone else's property. You were born to be free and independent. And this is one of the strongholds that have to be broken, and there has to, it has to be broken from a standpoint of sovereignty and not from a standpoint of government control. And if you look up the word government, you have to establish it right there. Look up the word government. It means to rule. You don't need any rulers, and you definitely don't need any rulers to maintain control over you. You are perfectly able to exist in a very prosperous life outside of any pharaoh rule. And this is something that has to be taken into account. And this is the real problem with everything. So if you have any questions or comments about what you just heard, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032-POUND. Then hit *61. And I will definitely bring you up. This is something that's so important. If you have any comments, any views, any questions about it, definitely get those in now. Would love to hear from you. So go over and talk about what is it that we just heard. What we just really heard was, and this was been on for a little bit while, what you really heard was a part of the asymmetrical warfare against the general public. And there's going to be some information that's going to be put out all over about different things. But what they're really doing is fostering the new system of control over you and not breaking the old. What they're going to do is they'll let things that have expired, or things that they'll sacrifice some things, because these people love to sacrifice everything because they feel that they have a real, they gain harmonic power by these sacrifices. And what they will do is they will sacrifice people, industries, and ideas and agendas in order to maintain control of the general public. When they talk about just right now, there's so much propaganda that's so false that's out. And the reason why it's false is because we have been schooled and we are lacking education. And this is one of the reasons why we started Tando Radio Show, just to bring what we thought was the education that is so necessary for you, so that you could be a free and independent spirit, the way that God intended you to be. And it's so important that we understand that. First of all, let's go into this video. They had some great things about it. But one of the things that they didn't tell you was that they were purposely confusing what money was. Everything that they said was money was not money at all. It was only currency. Because once they get you on that trick to make you think that currency is money, they've got you in a place where you think you're free and you're enslaved. And if you participate in their currency system, you will always be subject to their rule. Because you didn't create it, they did. They have the patent for it, you don't. And that's the big, huge difference. The fundamental thing that we really have to establish is, what is the difference between currency and money? Because they are not one in the same. And by us not knowing that, we would never be able to solve the problem that runs amok through our lives. And it steals and ensures that our prosperity is lost. And it ensures the generational enslavement from the past to the present and into the future. Because we don't even know that we pass this disease that is so contagious on to everyone. And this is the fundamental thing. Most of us don't even know the difference between currency and money. And that is the agenda. And by that not knowing that, where would you start to reestablish yourself to be free? First thing that everyone would do, we don't recognize and we don't acknowledge, first of all, that we have a problem. We have an addiction to currency problem. But once we recognize that and we can admit that, then we can start to detoxify ourselves and wean ourselves from the very controlling factor that's in place. And it has to be established by every single individual, first and foremost. It doesn't start with you and your children. It doesn't start with you and your spouse. It doesn't start with you and your mate. It doesn't start with you and your friend. It doesn't start with you and your mother, your father, or anyone else. It starts with you, first and foremost. Because if we don't know, if you don't know, then everything else is mildly interesting. Everything else will be just as confused and just as controlled and contrived and led as the past. Until you know individually for yourself, then you won't understand what real freedom is. And you will think that you are making decisions of your free will. Yes, they will be your free will to maintain the overall control and the slave control that you have. Every slave has the ability to be free, but not every slave chooses to be free. Some find comfort in their servitude. They find comfort in their bondage, and they actually claim their cage of captivity as their home. And that's a psychological played against the people of the world. Everywhere, even the people that are free aren't. Just different levels and different degrees of it. And they really don't care about where you fit into it as long as you're represented by it. As long as you participate in it. And as long as you give energy to it. Because it's the individual's energy, your energy is what sustains it. And it's so important that we understand some fundamental truth about this before we even decide how are we going to dismantle it completely and establish a new system. One that is sustainable. One that is obtained. Free. But we choose not to live that way. You know, the great creator God Almighty established an ecosystem that's absent of man's rule. But we think that we have to have some form of rule. What form of civilization are we going to have? If we don't have a form of civilization, then we'll be uncivilized. Not even knowing that you've just validated and ensured someone is going to have control over you. Because that's civilization. And you've actually walked away from what was organic, original, and paramount. The system that needs not your participation is still there as we speak. I always like to say that the birds don't have to pay for their birthright. You do. And you pay for your birthright by choice. So it's so important that we understand these things. Hey, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Then hit pound, then hit star 61. So let's start to talk about some of the things that were talked about in this video. And some of the real important factors. And one of the things that I want to do is that a lot of these things that we see now have been legislated for many a year and for centuries and have been part of the culture of civilization from the very first taking of a slave. And a lot of us may not be aware of the historical beginning of slavery. And we'll get into that at some appropriate time. It has everything to do with an economy. Remember, an economy is something that's derived of by man and established and fundamentalized by man. So if man creates it, man can have a patent for it. That's why they always talk about currency as being money, because they don't want you to know what real money is. Real money is absent of man's control or patent. That's what real money is. But the manipulation of it can happen, and it has happened, and it will continue to happen until you know the difference and decide to do something about it differently in your life, and to first liberate yourself economically until you're able to establish a collective prudence that will get you back into an ecosystem of prosperity. So important. So, hey, we got a caller that's in queue. Don't like to have our callers waiting. Let's go to our caller. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hi, how you doing, Tando? This is Jer from Chattanooga.
What's up, Jer?
How you doing?
You calling me Tando. What's up, brother? How you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing great. I was just speaking to the listener base in general. You know,
okay.
I was going to get to you.
Okay, got you. What's going on, my brother?
I'm doing great, man. I was listening to the little soundbite that we had. I have a statement and a few questions, if you don't
okay,
mind.
Okay, cool.
My statement was, it seemed that although a lot of the information he was given, it seemed to be great, but it seemed to be funneled down to a particular area that he wanted us to go. Like he was talking about, he spoke on how good the bottom system was, but then right behind that, you know, he tell us that although that would be good with silver and gold, but who want to carry that around anyway? And the first thing I thought is, if they got rid of the silver and gold, well, not even if they got rid of it, but why would they, when all the richest people in the world, the wealthiest people in the world, that's what they hold. So that didn't make no sense to me. But another thing, I know you had made a reference to the Social Security number. When all of this falls in, you think that will reset that whole Social Security phenomenon that we're going through now?
I think that is still going to remain in place, because that is nothing more than a documentation to ensure that a person remains within the economy. And it starts off psychologically right away, because you think about when our children are born, you know, what's the first thing that's done is that child is recorded. And is recorded by fingerprinting, by through blood. They take blood, and then they basically say that now you need to go get this child a Social Security number. If a child needed to have a Social Security number, then the great creator in the natural process of of being born, that would have came out also. But what comes out is a living spirit. A spirit can't be numbered unless it's going to be manipulated. So I think the overall Social Security part of things is going to continue in the next paradigm, in the next economic paradigm that we're going to move to. And that's going to be, I really believe, is going to be asset-based. And it's going to be the control of assets even more.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. I'm going to reserve that question for you personally. My next question was, as far as the barter system, you know, people are going to be trading goods and services.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great to collect jewelry and stuff during that time, too. I mean, just for the listeners to know, that's something that you could ask for, maybe a gold necklace or silver chain or a bracelet or something of that nature. And that's another quick way to build your wealth of something that you don't want to trade off later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the barter system is a great system. But see, this is one of the keys to the barter system and Jerry, you're absolutely right. You got to have things that have real value. But the key to that is that you have to start to acquire those assets. One of the things that I always teach in my precious metals class and the things that I teach is that you never buy an asset because you like it. You buy an asset because they're asking the wrong price. And right now, there are assets that are going to be key for bartering in the future that everyone is ignoring. And in ignoring that, you put yourself in a very difficult situation to go into a barter system when you don't have anything to barter with, because it doesn't just materialize. At some point in some time, you have to accumulate things that are necessary to function for you and your family in a barter system. And if we maintain the consumerism that we have, that's based off of the currency system that we have, and how attached we are to the overall debt dollar, once that collapses, all of the true assets go up and they become extremely scarce. And history always tells us that. Case in point, in modern history right now, in Greece, people do not want the currency. They don't want cash. They are scrambling for whatever they can find that has value. Why are they scrambling for it? Because they didn't take the time to see where their economy was going, where the trend was going, and prepare for it before it came. Now they have to scramble for things that they don't have. So the barter system is great if you position yourself to have those assets before you need to barter with it, and you can get it when they're asking the wrong price for it. That is so critical and so important that we understand and do that. And you're absolutely right, Jerry. You want to have the assets that have the value that could command a medium of exchange. Because I'm going to tell you, cash means nothing until you exchange it for something else. You know, it has no intrinsical value. It's just a medium of exchange until you exchange it. And it's so important that we as people understand how we're being had by this whole system and how this whole system works. And it's really a very cyclical system. This has worked for them in the past, and they just go keep going back to the same old things because the people follow. And that's our biggest mistake, is following the leadership, and they always lead us to destruction, economic, social, political, destruction, not only that, through war and through famine and disease. That's just their overall methods of control. Didn't mean to get long-winded there, Jerry.
Oh, no. But that's the point I was making, though.
Right. Right. That's the exact point you were making.
You've been giving us different utensils that we need to get, like Brother David speak on diamond tip matches, you know,
mm-hmm.
draft
diamond
moves.
Matches, yeah.
Yeah, diamond matches. I said diamond tips.
Uh-huh.
The diamond matches, dried food, you know, gloves, whether they be for weather or just for sterile purposes, you know, those kind of things. And what I was saying is that you would barter those right. little trinkets, whether somebody have a gold chain that they have, you know, some rings or any of that kind of thing. And that's what I was meaning when I say you bought them for those, for that jewelry. And that'll be some tangible wealth that you could have in the future that you wouldn't
right.
get rid of.
Right. Right. Yeah, I knew that that was exactly what you were saying. And that is, and that's a point that really needs to be emphasized, that these are the things that you need to do now. And that's exactly what you're saying, is that, you know, and I wholeheartedly agree. And another thing with that, as you know, Jerry, because we talked about it, you know, on your show and everything else, you have to be able to authenticate that something is real, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of fake gold and fool's gold that's there. And you have to be able to distinguish things that have value and things that just have the perception of value. And I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest perceptions of value is the economic system that we have now, because it's nothing more than a trap. It has no value until you use it correctly. Until you use it correctly.
You got to learn how to play the game. Hey, but I'm going to sit back, I'm going to mute myself, and I'm going to continue to listen to the show.
For sure, Jerry. Always, man. Definitely give us a call anytime. Love when you call, because you always bring some great information that is so, so needed. And we'll talk to you in a little bit, Jerry.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, brother. All right, cool. We got a couple of more callers that's in queue. Want to go ahead and get to them. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment?
This is Wade. I was just listening. You know.
Hey, Wade, how you doing?
I'm all right. Good. I sent your email. You got it?
Did you send it today?
2 days ago, actually.
I'm going to check. Let me check. You sent it to wolf6pack1 at Gmail?
Yeah.
Okay, let me check. I didn't see it.
I had a couple of comments I wanted to make.
Sure, go ahead, Wade.
Yeah, I was listening, and you mentioned that we're already free. And I'm going to say I have to agree with you 100%. But what you want to do is you want to take a different approach, though, on how you present it, because not everybody's going to get that they're already free.
Yeah.
The reason why I say that is because, and this is going to blow a lot of people away, we actually exist inside what's called a matrix. Now, what is the matrix? It's a dream world that's been wrapped around our eyes to blind us from the truth. Now, what is the truth? The truth is that most people are slaves to such an extent that they don't even know that they're slaves.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we are free. But it's up to people to wake up from that dream. That's basically what I want to say. And the way they structure this matrix, and I say they, meaning the rulers who think they could rule over everybody, the way they structure it is in the number three. Notice that everything has three parts to it. Now, me and Drake had mentioned the military-industrial complex the other day. There's three components to the military-industrial complex. You have the Vatican, then you have the British Crown, and then you have the Illuminati, basically. So there's three parts to it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, I screwed up there. It's the Vatican, the British Crown, and then you have the Pentagon. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three parts to it.
Right.
Now, our social security checks, you know where it goes?
Where does it go?
Goes to the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And then our tax money goes to the British Crown, which is in, you know.
Right.
The Queen gets it, basically. That's how they fund all the wars and everything.
Through the City of London, right.
Yeah, and then the Pentagon is the military arm of all of that. So you have three parts. Now, keep in mind, I mentioned the Matrix. Everything within the matrix has to be, the number three is the power number for this universe. Everything works on three energetic levels. Just like you mentioned the body, the soul, and the spirit the other day. So the human body can only exist in three parts within this dimension. So everything has to vibrate on three levels because we exist in three dimensions. So what these people have done is they've copied the original template of the way this universe is structured, or is their plan going to work? So everything that they, the structure of their matrix, it has to have three parts, or else it wouldn't work. And I'm going to let you, you know, chime in on that. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I definitely believe that there is a system to this whole thing. And this is how they are able to, because believe me, a lot of this is psychological. Some of it is physical, and there are frequencies, harmonic frequencies. And if you really look at how we are made up as a living spirit, there are different forms and there are different criterias or levels of it, or parts of it all. You know, the physical body can die, but the spirit can, your true self, your spirit can never be extinguished because energy can never end. So I believe that through the sciences, they hide this from the everyday person, because one of the things is you always want your slaves to be what? Asleep or under a sedative, unaware of what's really going on, because once they wake up, they can see that they've been naked, and they've been used.
And then they lose all their control over us once we wake.
Right.
Now here's right. the deal. Here's the thing. This matrix, as I said, they always structured in three parts. Now, me and Drake had mentioned that we're gonna be going back to common law, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just one part of it. Currently, what are we at? We're at maritime law. I don't know. If
maritime, right.
We're gonna be going back to common law, which deals with slavery. Then after that, the third phase is natural law, which is the law of the cosmos, the creator. So there you go, the number three again. So it's not going to be a new system. What we're doing is we're going to be imploding the system in a slow motion, because if we do it abruptly, it's going to shock everybody. It's going to cause a shock to the system. So they're going to have a temporary money system, which means it's not going to last. Then we're going to go to a moneyless society. Think of it, you know, have you ever seen Star Trek? Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with Star Trek, and you're absolutely right. They're trying to push towards a cashless society as we speak right now.
It's not going to be Bitcoin or chips, right? It's going to be a total cashless
right.
society.
Right, right. No, cashless society. Yeah, they're pushing it now, big time.
No, meaning there's going to be no money at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, a cashless society with no money and everything else. Okay.
Basically, you put your ideas into the society and you're taken care of, basically, like, you know, food, a place to stay, you know, transportation, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's a part of Agenda 21.
No.
No?
If there's no money, you can't be controlled, because money is a control mechanism. And I'm going to leave it at that part, but if I go further, your audience, they're not going to get it, because it goes pretty deep.
Okay. All right.
But it's going to be a true cashless society. There's not going to be no credit card or anything like that.
Okay. Well, yeah, we definitely got to talk about that, because it's something that the people can know. And they're pretty sharp. They're pretty sharp. You know, if it's presented to them, they can definitely discern it and make their own and understand exactly what it is.
Drake is going to go more into when can he come on Thursday?
On Thursday? I don't think we're going to have a show on Thursday.
Thursday. What's a good day then?
I don't think he's going to have we're going to have a show on Thursday because of...
The holidays is coming up.
Yeah, the holidays. And then, I didn't see your email. Let me give you my email address again, and then send me something, and then we can, because, you know, maybe sometime next week, we can put, you know, because we'd like to hear this. And it's wolf, like the animal, the number 6, pack
at Gmail.
No, sorry. That's why it's number 1. You got to put a 1 after pack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I got it correct. I got it in my address book there.
Okay, well, just send me something, and then I can respond to you. Yeah. Definitely would love to for you to, you know, break it down to where, because one of the things is that it's so important, and the people need to know so that they can know what it is and make their own decisions about things, because the actual transferring of information is so important. It's transferable, you know. Information should be transferable.
Well, everything is energy. Everything, but there's different forms of energy. Even information is energy.
Yeah. So true. So true. Because everything has, once you create something, because everyone is a creator themselves, because they can control energy, and anything that creates energy is actually a form of a creator.
What I'm saying is, we're going to be creating our own world. That's what I'm saying. So we're not really going to have, there's going to be a temporary government, but once we there's going to be a third phase where there's not going to be any government on the planet. Each human being will have to self-govern himself. And that's going to be going back to the natural law. And that's pretty deep stuff.
Yep. Well, I call that the ecosystem. And believe me, I'm all for that one.
It's going to be a total government, you know, no government at all. So right now we have to do it in a way where people are going to get it, because not everybody's unplugged from the matrix. They're not going to get it. So that's why I think of a building. How do you implode a building?
From within. Yeah. At the pillars, at the base of the structural foundation of it, and the skeleton of it.
There you go. And this matrix is structured like a building, but in three parts though. So everything has to be collapsed in three times. The financial system, the governmental system, and all of it, the whole military industrial complex, the matrix.
Yeah.
Now, outside of that matrix, there's an organic matrix, and that's the organic way of life, and that's what we're intended to go back to.
Well, that would be great. Well, you know, you have brought up a good point. You asked, how do you implode a building? Well, if everyone wants to know how you implode a building, just look at New York. And that tells you how to implode a building. Hey, Wade, send me that information.
And we have more. I have some more information for you, because that's going to blow everybody away.
Okay, cool. Because we got some other callers that's in queue. I would love to hear from you. Send me email me, and then we can put something together, okay?
For sure. And let's stay in touch, because it's all.
Yeah, definitely. We're here. Okay.
Right, bye.
Okay, brother. All right, let's go to a couple of other callers that we have in queue. Welcome, Brett. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you calling from? And what is your question or comment?
Hey, it's Brother Davis, Dave.
Hey, Brother Davis, what's going on?
Hey, man, I'm rolling across Texas from El Paso into Dallas. I want to put something out there real quick.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
One thing we cannot underestimate, and that's the human ability to survive. Sooner or later, as people begin to wake up and realize they're all in the same boat, they're going to realize they all have the same antagonist, and they all have some of the same interests. And when they begin to do that, literally, they'll band together and they'll think and form groups that will fight against. As that process takes hold, the information that you've given them, like on the same thing, to let them know that there's functionality without the Federal Reserve and the bank, that those still hold the place in the bartering process, then they'll begin to realize that they seem to make changes that are entirely different than the plan of the Indians. We have to understand this above all else. That's just what they think. What we do will depend on how we want things to happen.
Right.
Even if it works that way, if those people make an attempt to move it in that direction, you give power to those people who are. When I say they're in the matrix, walking around in that zombie state, thinking everything is normal, when they have no idea what normal means really. So as they begin to wake up, there'll be people around that are like-minded and be able to help them along that path to identifying that this isn't what's real. That's what they plan. But they require tools in order for this to happen. they require laws and the ability to destroy. And you have to understand that only fear when you feel as though you're in danger. But in a group, the fear becomes better. So I haven't given up on the possibility. And I hope others haven't given up on the possibility. Because we will never achieve the impossible if we don't believe we can achieve the impossible. Hey, I just want to give you a shout out, brother.
Man, Brother Davis, as always, so true. Brother Davis, we're, tomorrow's show, we're not going to have a video or anything. We're going to really talk to the people and just lay some of the things out because it's so important. So if you have any questions or comments about the past couple of weeks, we're going to talk more about this. It's going to have a part two to it. Then we're going to go into some other things that's so important because time is running out. As always, Brother Davis, great information. And it's so true. And this is one of the things that I really appreciate is that once you start to make this journey and once you decide to move your energy this way, no one becomes a threat to you. And your hand is always open to actually help people.
Be blessed, everybody.
Yep. Okay, Brother Davis, we'll catch up with you. Okay, we got another caller that's in queue. Let's go to him real quick before we get out of here. Welcome, caller, to the Tando Radio Show. What's your name? What's your number? I mean, where you calling from? And what's your question or comment? We got like 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is Jerry again.
No, go ahead, Jerry.
I had a question for Wade. First question was, since we're working in threes, I was, if the Russians and the Chinese go ahead and they win this war, then what would be the three parts? Because I noticed he didn't mention anything about the financial part down dealing with the Swiss bank. So that would actually be four. But I was wondering what would be the counterpart, because if he knows this, and then now that we know it, I'm sure that the elites on the other side of the war knows this also. So I was wondering what would be their frame, and I'll leave the rest of the questions to tomorrow.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll catch up. And I'm hopefully Wade will be online tomorrow, but we will definitely talk about this because there's so much that we wanted to get to. Because let me tell you, one of the most important things. Well, Wade is there. We got one minute. So if you wanted to respond to Jerry's question, that would be great.
Hey Jerry, I mentioned the Vatican. What most people don't know is that the Vatican also has a bank. So there's something called the Vatican Bank. And that's part of it too. So all that's going to be collapsing. Then you have the central banking system, which is owned by the Rothschild. That's also being collapsed right now.
And then there we go. We're running out of time. Wade, we'll definitely get to this because we got 1 minute before we get out of here. Great. Thank you for making yourself available to answer or just start to answer Jerry's question. Yeah, go ahead.
I wonder if Drake could be on tomorrow because he had said he was going to be free tomorrow, but then I didn't know if you guys are open.
So. Yeah, tomorrow I already have because what I try to do, I have to schedule this stuff out in advance. If you wanted to call in or something, yeah, most definitely. And then maybe at the next week or something, we could have Drake on if he wanted to chime in and give some information to people. That would be great.
Get your community preparedness teams now, though, because it's going to hit.
Yeah.
Everything is in place right now. So we don't have much
definitely.
All right, so I'll email you, okay?
Yeah, definitely. Right. Email me, Wade. We'd appreciate it. Okay, everyone, that's the end of the show. Just want to thank you all for listening. Tomorrow's show, we will retouch on this very topic and what is so important, and it's so necessary. Hey, before you ask for a blessing, make sure to be a blessing. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Much love and much respect. God willing, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. You know tenderness comes from pain.